Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hells and the smells of North America. I never take your presence for granted. I never take you for granted. I never take my people for granted. And so I'm thankful that you're able to join us tonight for another edition, another power-packed presentation of Black Power Radio, the most hard-hitting, most revolutionary, most uncut, rough, rugged, and raw radio anywhere to be found, anywhere in the hells and smells of North America, and anywhere to be found anywhere in the world. Nobody's doing it like this anymore. Nobody's kicking the reel anymore, unless you're from the bottom, unless you're from the dirt. But most of the big names, most of those with status, most of those that don't want to put in no work, you're ducking, you're hiding. You're ducking and you're hiding. You don't want to step up to the front lines. You don't want to step up to the forefront. And so you leave the hard rocks no choice. We got to organize. And so we invite you to this radio show, not to waste your time, but to show you what time it is in the hour that you live in right now. All you got to do is turn on the radio, turn up the radio, turn on your TV, and cut the real world off. Cut the Seinfeld reruns off. Cut the old episodes of Cheers and I Love Lucy off. And get into some real news. Get into some CNN. Get into some MSNBC. Get into some Fox News. Get off into it. And look at what's happening in your world, in their world. Look at what's happening in the world. We want to open the show up, giving thanks, giving praise, and giving honor to the black god and the black goddess that answers to many different names, has been called many different names down the wheels of time. And we ain't set tripping on no attribute. Some of our people call that God. Ra, Amun Ra, proper name. Some of our people in another language call that God, that supreme regenerative force, Elohim, means gods and goddesses, proper name. Some of our people call that God, that one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proper name. Some say Yemenya. Some say Obatula. Some say Oshun or Ogun. Some of our people in Africa just stick up one finger. Whatever your expression is, we honor you here today if you're talking about that one black God. And there's no God without the goddess. We're talking holistic and we're talking from the meiotic perspective, the God and the goddess. We have to thank that almighty creator for our manifestations. Our manifestations and our being a melanated people. Not being like our enemies are being crushed and killed by the sun. And being crushed and killed by the natural elements. We thank that almighty creator for our manifestation. And being able to survive down the wheels of time. And we understand that there's an enemy on the planet. There's a pale-faced enemy on the planet. And a white supremacist ideology on the planet. That has destroyed our people and destroyed the darker peoples and continues to rule and destroy in the minds and hearts of men and women the world over. And so we're thankful to the Creator for preparing strong ones who won't just go with the flow, who won't just accept what's given to them. Who won't just say, okay, it's all right. Whatever you want to do, boss, yes, sir, boss, I'm with you. We're thankful to that one black God. That's right, the black God. For giving us warriors, freedom fighters, male and female messengers, sages, priests, real priests, not them old rapist Catholic priests. Child-touching, homosexual, Catholic, perverted priest. We're talking about real, comedic priesthoods. We're thankful for all of those who have fought, all of our ancestors, who even though they may have transcended and may have gone on to what the Black Power General called the realm of the Egun, their energy, their spirit permeates in us and permeates in the universe because all energy is constant. And so we give thanks and honor to all the freedom fighters, male and female. We're thankful for every single regiment of the Panther Party that has come up down the wheels of time. Thankful for the Deacons of Defense. Thankful for Robert Williams. We're thankful for all of those who have laid a foundation, mentioned and unmentioned, who felt like it was better to fight against the white supremacy of the devil and give these bastards hell from the cradle to the grave. We gotta give thanks for a man in whom spirit, in whom zeal, in whom determination, in whom's courage, in whom's stance, in whom's posture the new Black Panther Party comes in. We're thankful for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man who said his purpose on this earth was not to be a great quarterback, although he was that, was not to be a great athlete, was not to be a great dancer, was not to be anything frivolous. He said his purpose on this planet was to give the white man, the devil, the enemy, the cracker, Satan, Beelzebub, hell from the cradle to the grave. I know that shook some of y'all. I'm talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We're giving all thanks and honor for that black man on this show and every show. You got a problem with that black man, you got a problem with us all. And we give thanks for his number one student and representative, a man who is largely responsible for keeping the name of the Black Power General in your face, before your face, on the television, on the radio, on the ground, in the U.S., out of the U.S., in your homes, in the streets, talking about a black man who that brother, that general, fashioned and molded and shaped and beat and whipped and prodded and everything else to make him the man that he is and what he's becoming. The black man who has the responsibility of being the national chairman of our new Black Panther Party. Your big brother and comrade in battle, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And I'm your host, Sean Kwali, in case you didn't know. And we pushing forward, family. We are marching on. First, thanking you for tuning in with us as we keep bringing you these Black Power Hours. We're pushing on to August the 13th in Harlem, New York, and Harlem, New York City. We're talking about millions march in Harlem to end the bombing of Libya and illegal sanctions on Zimbabwe. And we're going to move and organize on Bloomberg and the tyranny there. We're talking about defending Africa at home and abroad. We're talking about Pan-Africanism or perish. Pan-Africanism or perish. If you ain't on defending your home, and let me be more frank, if you ain't defending your throne, if you ain't defending your throne, then a conqueror and an oppressor and a brute pirate, a thieving crook, criminal will take you on my throne from us. And so Africa is under attack at all fronts. Africa's under attack economically. Africa's under attack agriculturally. Africa's under attack spiritually, morally. Africa, the land itself, the actual land mass of Africa, is under attack. And if that's your throne, black man and black woman, if that's where you ruled from, ruled the entire planet, all of the governments, and ruled all of the landscape right there from Africa, if it's under attack, then you got to know it. You got to wage a defense attack in defense of Africa today. And I ain't talking about no punk status on Facebook. I ain't talking about no weak load 'em up YouTube video. I'm talking about a real defense of your mother continent and mother country. Because a real attack on Africa is a real attack on your behind right now. And you know we in war in the hells of North America. What you think we at war for in North America? These devils want to eradicate every remnant of black realization. Every remnant of indigenous black African royalty. They want to remove. See, some of y'all think it was just Napoleon. You think it was just about Napoleon and his soldiers blowing off the nose on our colossal statues and blowing off the nose, you know what I mean, taking off the nose on our drawings and our pictures and carving out the black woman and her godhood and her goddessness on the walls of our temples. Y'all think it was just about Napoleon. Wasn't just about Napoleon. It was about eradicating the black existence. And Napoleon just was one of the latest exponents, but it didn't stop with no Napoleon. It has continued down the wheels of time. And now that white supremacist like Napoleon, the white supremacist like Sir John Hawkins, the white supremacist like Willie Lynch, has now manifested itself in the forms of racist, buckwild, brutal, racist cops and police across the hills of North America. It's manifested itself in the form of racist, prejudiced, disgusting judges and lawyers, prosecutors, and defense. It's manifested itself in the form of television reporters, radio personalities, manifested itself in the form of firemen, manifested itself in the form of post office workers. This white supremacist ideology and mindset has manifested itself in every single form of institution in the hills of North America and also abroad. And so on August the 13th, family, the black nation, the spirit of our ancestors has moved in the black nation and has determined that we will now make a difference against what's happening in Africa. See, when you stand for Africa, that means you're going to stand for the African in you and stand for yourself at home. If you are tired of witnessing executions, I'm talking about live executions on the streets, it's going to have to be some kickback. It's going to have to be some swing back. It's going to have to be some shoot back in self-defense. Some of y'all don't like that. Some of y'all don't like that, but it's going to have to be that. We organize and we come together as a family because we're disunited. We're disjointed. We're not repaired. We're not together, so we got to come together. We got to show our unity. We got to be able to put our differences to the side, the petty differences to the side, and be able to fight for the common cause and fight for that which is good for us and our people. But then after the rally, after the town halls, after whatever it is that we got going on, we got to have some concrete steps and some concrete plans to break the concrete barriers against us. So that's what we're talking about in the new Black Panther Party. I don't know what none of these other jokers is talking about, but we talking about concrete plans after your rallies, after your town halls, after your giveaways or whatever it is that you got going on. It's got to be concrete because these pigs ain't coming just rallying. They ain't having no massive pig rallies, and they're not having no massive pig town halls, and they ain't having no massive pig discussions. They coming shooting, swinging, tasering, killing. And so we got to be talking self-defense. We got to be talking protection. We got to be talking maintenance and responsibility towards our black women and our children. That's what it's about. So if you want to know what's happening, we're talking about August the 13th, telling you to be there August the 13th. For all my friends and my comrades, you can catch us in Harlem, New York, August the 13th. For all my foes and my enemies, you can catch me August the 13th in Harlem, New York. However you want to do it. Like Minister Malcolm said, we can't expect not to have no enemies in something this big. And so we got a power-packed show for you. We're talking about fight for Africa or perish. That's what it is. But see, some of y'all is so in love with this European that if the show was entitled Fight for Europe or Perish, you'd be clapping your hands, standing on top of the chairs. You would literally yell so loud you blow the incense out in your house if we was talking about something that had to do with this devil and this beast. We got to reprogram the mind and get back in love with ourselves. And so we expect to hear from a lot of our comrades from the East Coast, out over there in Harlem, New York. We're going to also hear from the comrades like Brother Malik El Ghani on the West Coast, the Watch Chapter in L.A. We're going to hear from you, too. But we got to first know what's going on. We cannot be in the dark on none of these issues. Now, look, apartheid has been dead for a while in South Africa. It's been dead for a while in South Africa. But there's a new version of white supremacy that lives on. There's a new version of white supremacy that lives on. Some of you out there are killing me with these arguments talking about because President Barack Obama's in office that racism is dead. You all are killing me with these arguments. When you have these kind of arguments against us in our program, that tells me that you don't understand the institution of slavery. You don't understand that when the slave master was weak and tired of whipping the slave to keep the slave in check, he didn't call no other white slave master to come on over to the plantation and keep these niggas in line. When the slave master got tired, the slave master would choose one of his field hands. He would choose one that he had already beat fear into, one that he had already had control of, one that did not want to face the lash of the whip like the rest of the slaves. And so he would be at the beck and call and beck and command of the slave master. And so the slave master would make this slave prove his loyalty and prove that he was really down for what the slave master had going on. And that slave master would give that whip over to the black man. And he would tell that black man, whip that nigga, beat that nigga, lash the nigga. And all the while, this was a black man whipping another black man, and sometimes a black man, a black woman, whipping another black woman to keep him in line. So don't keep talking about because Barack's in office that there's no white supremacy, there's no racism, there's no need for black power position, there's no need for black nationalism, for black to be nationalized, for our African indigenous rights to be nationalized. Don't talk to me about there's no need for Pan-Africanism when we are the most divided people anywhere in the world. We the only people that beef over labels and titles like the way we do. We could be the same complexion. We'll be talking about, I'm Creole, I'm Haitian. No, I'm French. No, I'm Spanish. No, I'm a dark Arab. No, I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm from the west side. I'm from the east side. We're the only people that do it like that. Everybody else, they get theirs. But then when something comes against their nation, something comes against their people, they posse up. You go to the Arab. You go to the old Arab, many of them old imperialists, beer selling, pork selling, Swisher sweet selling, crack pipe selling Arabs in the store. And you talk about doing something against the Arab. You black man talk about you gonna go sweetheart with the Arabs woman. And then see what kind of response you get. But all day long, so punked and so sissified, you let the Arab just sweetheart with the black woman. You won't even so much as spit on the ground. Won't even so much as turn your nose up, turn your face up. You won't even so much as say nothing. Let the old camel breath Arab sweetheart with the black woman. But you try to do that with the Arab, or try to do that with the yellow man, yellow woman, the Japanese. Try to go and invade and impose on their culture. Try to go and run their communities. Try to go and sell them their products. Hell, try to sell the Japanese or the Chinese some chopsticks, black man. Just try to sell them some chopsticks. See what kind of response you get. But hell, the Chinese, the Japanese, they come into the black community, set up hair weave stores, chicken shacks, set up all kind of stuff to sell to us. We are the only people that are so divided that everybody else can take advantage of us and we won't say nothing. We have taken the mindset of the capitalist. I'm going to get mine and you get yours. And so that's why we're telling you it's Pan-Africanism or perish. Pan-Africanism means that whether you got an African that's there in Mauritania, or if you got an African that's in Cuba, or you got an African that's here in the soils of the U.S., the hell, we all recognize ourselves as one family and one people. We just scattered across the globe. That's how other people do that. They don't come over here from China talking about they something else besides Chinese, or they something else besides Arabs, or they something else besides, you know what I mean, the Indians from India. They come here repping their nation, repping their culture. They come here, put the little red dots on, and they rolling. We the only displaced people that's so silly that instead of you understanding where that stuff come from, black man and black woman, and understanding you the mothers and fathers of it all, you would just pick you up a little red dot from one of them little hair stores and put the red dot on your forehead and walk around trying to be Indian. As the Black Power General say, you'll take 15 minutes of kung fu, and then you be in the mirror trying to slant your eyes. We messed up, family, and we got to make a Sankofa. We got to make a real pilgrimage. Talking about we're going to go around the Kaaba a whole bunch of times. You need to make a pilgrimage to yourself first before you talk about flying anywhere. No disrespect at all. I'm saying make a pilgrimage to yourself, to your true self, because it don't do no good to go over there to Mecca and go around the Kaaba and still be a slave in 2011. You go all the way over there, or all the way over there and come back to the U.S. and still be in these conditions. Hell, you can do that anyway. Even in Kemen, go all the way to Kemen. If you don't understand, you don't learn, if you don't know what's happening, learn about yourself and myself, you're going to come all the way back here and still be a slave. Police brutality is still going to exist. And these white folks and these imperialists are still going to have control of your mind and your motherland. This is the type of stuff that's got to begin to irritate you, brother and sister. It can't be business as usual. It's got to be able to irritate you now. If it don't irritate you, you're dead as hell. There's still racial segregation that's there in South Africa. There's still exploitation in South Africa, even after the destruction of apartheid in that system. And so it's just like over here in America. Since we fought the Civil War, you know, our forefathers and foremothers fought in the Civil Wars, and they, you know, got Reconstruction and all this, and, you know, they did all these things for civil rights and fought civil rights and all this type of stuff that we did. Now, we done got lazy. Now, since the crackers ain't hanging you from the trees now, you're lazy. You done got comfortable, become a microwave generation. Scared to fight. Now some of us are scared to fight, and we're not going to be able to get free like this. Malcolm X said that you got to be willing to go all the way with this for freedom. That's what it means, that giving life or taking lives. You ain't going to be able to stop no Bloomberg with no daggone Facebook status. That's what I said. You ain't going to be able to stop no militarized police force with no Facebook status. Goddamn Zuckerberg or whatever the devil's name is that made Facebook, he's a damn agent. He's an agent. He's on their payroll. The odds are stacked against us all the way around, and if we don't unite right now as a people, if we don't organize right now as a people, if we don't make a move right now as a people, I don't think we're going to get too many more chances to do anything. And that don't mean that all of us got to get along. You don't all have to sing my tune and come at it my kind of way, but you better damn sure be about this cause, though. We don't all got to get along. That's a misconception in this community. That just because we united and that we fighting in the same cause, that we all got to be smiling, beguiling, and grinning with each other. That's not always the case. We love black love. We love black unity. We love black harmony. But hell, even from the beginning when we was ruling in Africa, from time to time, we beef with each other. Sometimes personalities just don't mix. They don't click. But guess what? When them Hyksos came in, when them white folks came in, guess what? Them brothers and sisters had enough sense to be able to drive them Peckerwoods back to the caves and hillsides. Expel them from the land. You ain't got that kind of sense. And we ain't got that kind of sense. We talking about it's hopeless. We can't do it. We can't fight. They done knocked the fight out of us. So I'm saying it like this. Make your way to Harlem, New York, August the 13th. And don't come expecting it to be nothing nice or nothing pretty. Yeah, it's a family event. We want you to be able to bring your children, bring your husbands, bring your wives, bring your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your spouse, your mate, do all of that. But just have a sidebar conversation to have all your general orders in effect. They still mad at us from organizing from the Million Youth March in 98. They running this thing on AMC all week long right now, dealing with Rudy Giuliani. He's co-hosting Mob Week. That devil letting you know straight up he affiliated with the mob. And the new mayor of New York ain't no different. Nothing but a bunch of thugs and gangsters right there at office. So just have a sidebar with your family that on August the 13th, all general orders are in effect. That means that you're being especially watchful, that you walk in your post in a perfect manner, that you're taking charge of your post, you're not letting nobody commit a nuisance on or near your post, that you're reporting all the violations of orders you instructed to enforce. And in case of disorder, you're giving the alarm straight up. Straight up. We're not going to allow nobody to have no disruption on that day. Because it's always informants that send into the crowd to try to cause disruption. And when the national chairman's up there doing his thing, and when our elders is up there doing their thing, and other members of the national community is up there doing their thing, let them teach the people and talk to the people. Those of you that are security-minded, male and female, this is the time that you're supposed to be willing to rally up now. This is the time you're supposed to be willing to click up now, posse up now. This that time when we're talking about defending our motherland, defending our country, defending our honor. Some of you got in that plane and defended America for imperialism. Some of you grabbed that M16 and you went 9,000 miles away to defend the Peckerwoods cause. You went through his boot camp and they basic training and let them call you all kind of niggas and talk down to you, send you through the mud and run you around in the rain. You did all that for America and you enjoyed none of the benefits. So posse up for the black nation. Boot up and lace up for the black nation. Suit up and get down for the black nation. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. That's what I'm talking about. It's got to be that hard, family. It's got to be that hard. Otherwise, they will continue to keep their hands around our necks and their boots on the back of our skulls. We can't be falling asleep in this hour. And if we're asleep, you got to shake yourself, man. You got to shake yourself, because if South Africa's under control, guess what? Sooner than later, everything you got is under their control. We don't have anything else as it is. We got very little in America. Black people have very little enterprise in America. Groveling at the foot of the white man, trying to get a job from the white man. Too slave-minded to use our own ability and potential to make a job for ourselves. Or we haven't developed enough trade. Some of us don't even know how to fill out an application in the first place or even dress to go to the damn job. We just messed up. I ain't doubting us. I'm talking about the condition. So we got to be re-educated. We got to be retaught. We got to be retrained. We got to be regrouped. We got to be reformatted. We got to be everything renewed. We got to have a real revolution in America. So let me get on to this. I know y'all, you know, y'all feeling me. Let me just move this thing right along now. But just remember, August the 13th, that's that date. That's the date. Get your plane ticket now. Get your Greyhound ticket now. Get your canoe paddle right now if that's what you need. All up your bicycle, your Huffy. Do whatever you got to do, man. Just do what you got to do, man. We're going to go straight to the phone lines because I don't want to hold you all's thoughts. But y'all better be talking about Pan-Africanism or parish. All right, let's go right to it. 504-235, you're on the air. We're talking about Pan-Africanism or parish. Break it down for us. Black power.
Black power, black man.
Black power. Black power.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Yeah. Who we talking to tonight?
This is Reverend Brown, man.
Reverend Brown. What's going on, family?
Doing fine, brother. I just want to congratulate you, brother, for sharing those words of inspiration and giving us that motivation that we need to continue to struggle.
Because got
truly,
to do it.
Yes, sir. Because truly the way the economy is going, the way they manufacturing unemployment and poverty in this country, while we thinking that we have a budget crisis going in, and after we don't have no budget crisis, I'm getting a lot of feedback, brother, like a radio.
You said you getting some feedback?
Yeah, I got somebody playing music on the background. I don't know what that is, but it's gone now.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, sir. First of all, I want to give my obedience to Almighty God, our Creator, and the Maker of everything, all of us and the world. I humbly praise Him and give Him all the glory for creating us and bringing us into this society. And also I want to acknowledge my leader, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, in his absence, and many other freedom fighters and revolutionaries who have put their life on the line and are fighting for our freedom. You can never thank them enough for dedicating their life for the liberation of our people. People will die and be scorned and whooped and beat and talked about throughout the press, throughout the newspaper articles, slandering their name and talking about a bad, calling them a racist. How they stand up mightily in defense of all of that, they still out there struggling. And so I honor these leaders from doing this here. Basically, what I've been spreading around through the Facebook, through emails, through telephone conversations, through direct contact with brothers and sisters, as we meet and we share, is that I come to realize that the unemployment and poverty that we see is not something that's just happening to us because of sign of time. The white man is actually doing this on purpose. He's creating poverty and unemployment. Why? Because if, in fact, the people are ignorant, they turn on themselves. And they turn on themselves in many ways. Some of them basically just stop fellowshipping with one another. Stop talking. Stop organizing. Stop uniting. Stop coming together and get frustrated with the system. Turn each other when we turn the drugs off. So let's open our community to make ends meet using alcohol and buying into the white man game. And what I'm saying is that we, as the original people of the earth, we the original God people. We cannot let this cheap shot white cracker come along and tell us and control us like this. He controls the economy. He controls the prison industrial complex. He controls the prison industrial complex. He made Wall Street crash, at least, like they say, they said it crashed. We'll never know, because we don't have the books. We'll never know. They could have, the economy, the Dow Jones Industrial Average could have went up. Brother Sean, they're telling us to
go down. Right.
They could have been trying to use a smoke screen to make us more feel hopeless. And there's nothing there for us.
The real deal, Reverend Brown, is that the dollar has already crashed. The dollar has already sank. It's at the lowest it's ever been, and technically it's what's called fiat money, which means that it's not backed by anything with substance. It's no gold, no silver, no nothing. It's just paper. So the debt ceiling they're talking about throwing some worthless currency at an already overextended debt. You know what I mean? So they're wasting their time.
Well, you know, again, like I said, they're manufacturing this poverty, all this drug transactions and different stuff like that. And we got to be wise and come to the realization that we got to organize our people, let them know that you unemployed. For number one, because we have not really sat down and mapped out a strategy to build jobs for ourselves. Number one. Number two, the banks and the financial institution. We're dealing with some heavy stuff because look, people stop eating and people stop living. You talk about a revolution. I don't think we're gonna settle down like they got our people in Sudan and Ethiopia and starve to death. And while our little kids and babies turn to bones, like what's going on right now in Sahara or Africa, you mentioned Africa. When you see our people, white folks coming on TV asking us to save the children, and we donate money to these big white and multinational corporations, but they're using the money for their Mercedes Benz and their big mansions, and they're living high on the hog. And they're using celebrities also to push this propaganda. You know, it don't take all those millions of dollars to feed those people. Come on now. We're not ignorant. Come on now.
Exactly.
They got a white man, got several white men right now. They say they're worth billions. They can buy a whole city. You mean to tell me you got one white man sitting somewhere with $300 billion and can buy a whole city? Huh? Where did that money come from? Where did that money come from? It came from slave labor. That's where it came from.
And exactly. I'm just saying. And they throw the money away. Quiet as it's kept. When they get tired of the money, or the money has set over an extended period of time, they will burn the money that they have. They're showing you that it's worthless. But I'm just saying that if they wanted to cure some issues, why not give that money to the poor? Why are there so many homeless people in the hills of North America? Right there at the White House, you're talking about a block down from the White House, you're talking about people sleeping on the concrete.
And the shame on the president.
How does that exist?
Shame
they
on
don't
the president
care.
Because, yes, sir, the president could take a pen. And right, he don't need no congressional clarification. He got executive power. He can see every homeless person down there. And there ain't no 50,000 homeless people just sitting around a block from the White House. He can strike a pen and give them all somewhere to stay. Strike a pen and give them all some food every morning. Strike a pen. But he's not going to do it because poverty sells. Because
exactly.
The destruction of people sells. We know that.
Exactly right.
Destruction, I feel the destruction
right.
of the destruction of people fails. Putting people
exactly.
in prison fails.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying, black man?
No doubt about
so
it.
I'm to the point where and I'm going overboard, everybody think I'm going crazy now. I'm just speaking the truth. The truth is
right.
all the stuff we see, we blaming ourselves for it when we should be blaming those no good rich. You know what to call them. You know what we want to call them, but we can't say that.
Yeah, blame them
super
bastards.
Rich. Hey, thank you. And they sit
blame
around
them.
There, man, let me tell you something. Oprah herself got enough of money to strike a pen and clear up this black sister. I'm talking about the black sister. Got enough of money to strike a pen and clear up homelessness in D.C. Robert Johnson, all of them got money. They can strike a pen. They can clear up homelessness and poverty in black neighborhoods. But they sat back there, oh, I'm a billionaire. I'm worth a billion. That's not telling me nothing when your people got to turn a white man for the live.
Right, exactly.
On top of that,
Reverend Brown, I want to get these, some more callers in it, but I say this in almost every show where we talk about economy and economics, our black dollar does not circulate in our community more than one time. It does not go in our community more than one time. And so, you know, if you look at other communities that go around at least 5 to 7 times, we got the black dollar touching our hands one time in our community. So that means that every time we spend it, any money we have, we always spend it to the white man or to the Arab or to the Chinese or to whoever got that institution. We got to build some institutions that circulate the black dollar. Brad Brown, thank you for your call, Black man. Do your best, man, to get there August the 13th, my brother.
Yes, sir.
August the 13th. But thank you for your call, Reverend Brown. Love you, Black man.
Thank you.
That's Reverend Brown. Let me keep it moving. 845-853, you're on the air, Black Power Radio. We want you to be heard. We're talking about Pan-Africanism or Parish, but we're talking about let's fight for Africa or Parish, Black Power.
Black Power, brother. How you doing?
Doing good. It's my brother Ishmael.
Yes, sir, brother.
What's going on,
Lato?
Black?
Hey, Reverend.
Peace.
You ain't the only one that feel that way, brother. You know what I'm saying? We just got to wake up the people, brother. 85% of them deaf, dumb, and blind. And I'm glad to hear
deaf,
that.
Deaf, dumb, and blind, poison animal
right.
eaters. We know
that's
it.
Right. That's right.
We know
it's
it. We
designed,
know the blessing.
It's designed that way. You know? It's designed that way. They capitalize off of misfortune. That's
exactly.
how they make money, because they don't have morals and values.
Exactly.
You know, America,
exactly.
I was listening to Dick Gregory, and he said America's been a dirty country all his life, and that's 100% true. And we keep letting them do it. We got to wake up. You know, the Federal Reserve, they created that. That's theirs. That's not part of the government. So they do what they want. Right.
Yeah, they do. They obviously they do exactly what they want, because they don't even honor when it comes to their one slave. They don't honor even their own paperwork. So I mean, absolutely,
it means nothing. It means nothing to them. We just got to wake up. That's why I'm so glad, man. Over the 13th, brother, to hear the brother speak. I had the pleasure, man, to make sure that everybody's safe. You know, I'm a soldier, so I'm gonna make sure that everybody's safe.
It's gonna be so many elders in the house. I'm really looking forward to the building and getting the wisdom from the elders. But I also definitely want to hear from the young new leadership, and of course our national chairman. He's gonna be there putting it down as well. I mean, it's gonna be so much history there. And I'm telling all of our people to make their migration. You migrate, make your way to Harlem. Some of you ain't never even been to Harlem, never been to New York. Period.
Period. That's right. That's right. See,
yes, sir. You was in Harlem today, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was in Harlem. Oh. I go down to Harlem. I support my brothers. If I have to go to West Harlem, man, to get down, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what soldiers do. I didn't go to the war to fight for the white man. You know, so.
Okay, you.
I'm
going to
fight
tomorrow.
For my home. That's right. I'm right. I mean, it took my family, when I turned 18, I didn't register until I was 19. Because they said that, well, I go to jail, man. I said, well, you know, something's better than going over there dying for somebody that don't care about me.
Let me tell you, man, it's the thing. The thing is this, it's, you know, we're being shipped off 9,000 miles to fight people who ain't never done nothing to us.
I'm telling you.
Done nothing to us, and we have faced some of the most brutal conditions of any people on this soil, and these same brothers and sisters who's being sent 9,000 miles, some of them won't organize to fight the most brutal buck wild beast in 6,000 years. It's a sign of a slave mentality. That's a slave mentality.
And the sad thing about it is when they go over there, they get injured. These pigs is taking the money from them, taking the houses. They don't care about them. They'll take the insurance money, all that. And these fools have lost limbs and still believe America cares, but America don't care about nobody but the damn self. That's it. That's
them
what
soldiers,
people need to really wake up.
Them soldiers so, is crying out now, Ishmael. You can go all on the web, they're talking about they not getting their benefits. They're not getting the things that they was promised. Many of them right now talking about the war. The war is a lie. You know, we're over here fighting for that which we don't know we're fighting for. I mean, it's all over the web.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all over the web.
And if we don't come together and fight this beast, then we're gonna be doomed. One thing I tell these young kids, man, if you out here, man, fighting for your colors, well, what about the blackness that you have? Because they don't care about you or the Crip or whatever gang you are. They make money off you guys. And you do them a favor by killing each other. You know, and they got to think about it. Somebody got to give it to them raw. Give it to them real. I'm from the street, so they respect that, and they starting to listen. And they in this town, they try to convince them that I'm the only one. You know, but I'm the only one here that'll stand up to them. And I tell these kids, man, that they don't bother me. So why should I fight? You know, you got to handle yours. See, the war is casualties. It's either you or them. So you got to make sure that ain't
the thing is, though, that the devils, these devils don't fight us like we in no sets. They don't fight us like we no tribe. They fight us like if you see a roach in your house. They trying to stop and smash us all out. And to be honest, every aspect of Africa, they want it dominated. They want every aspect of Africa dominated. And if Africa's dominated, then hell, you know we don't stand a chance in the
U.S. I'm telling you, they trying to give us a message. And we got to fight for ourselves. I mean, the gangs don't mean nothing because they don't care about Muslims and Christians. As long as we black, they don't even care about the white folks. You know what I'm saying? But the white folks got to deal with theirs. But, you know, they don't care about nobody but that money.
Exactly.
That's it.
So talk to us on August 13th. What you expect to see for August 13th? What would you like to see out of August 13th? And can we look forward to meeting up with you August 13th?
Oh yes, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be up, you know, guarding the line. I'm gonna see the unity. I think, man, the people are tired. You know, like the vets you talking about. They're gonna be vets out there because they tired. They listen. They want to hear a message, a plan. You know, how we going to fight this beast together. I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. But then on the same token, you know, the pigs are going to be out there. They're going to have provocateurs to try to start stuff. So we always got to be mindful with what's going on.
I'm telling you.
And that's going to be part of what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep an eye and make sure everything, you know, me and the rest of the comrades, everything is all right. You know,
I'm looking forward to stuff, though. I'm just putting a word to the wise and just studying history, and I know that the NYPD don't got no love. They do not have love for black, period. They do not have love for black, period. I'm talking about even with black people on the force. It's an institution. See, what when we have to understand it is an institution. It's not personal. It ain't got nothing to do with your feelings. I don't care if you got family on the force, none of that. They are going to make your family members turn against their people. They're going to tell your family members or people that you know that's on the force, they're going to tell them to do evil things against black people. And you
that's
see it
right.
all the time. Our
right.
people, our people brutalizing and tasing to death. Our people are doing all kind of stuff. So it's not personal. I don't care if your uncle, your brother, sister, whoever's on the force. It is an institution, and as long as it's an institution, they're going to be told to do specific things, period.
That's right, because they're gangsters, biggest gangsters in the world. You know,
so
they don't care about nobody. I mean, like, no, if you don't have no morals, they don't care about it. So what? You see, you know, the police are just an arm of the oppressor, the true oppressor, and these policemen, the black ones, got to show, I don't care about these niggas. And he'll do more harm to you than the crackers do.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Exactly. So I'm saying, what I'm saying, I'm standing on this, that we're going to have to organize defense groups that will overthrow the racist pigs and cops on the forces across the country. And I'm just saying this for real. If our people are being tasered to death, they got vests and things that will protect you from the electrical prods and shocks of the tasers. Some of you that like to expropriate things and acquire things, you need to be getting our people these vests. Period.
Yeah.
Period. Ishmael, we got to get to the next callers, brother.
All right, brother.
I appreciate you, man. And I look forward to getting in these streets with you on August 13th, Black.
All right, brother. Black power, brother.
All right, Black power. That's Ishmael Shabazz. He's calling out of New York. He's just on the ground in Harlem, New York. And I'm just saying to you, family, this, that you can't fall asleep in this hour thinking that because a black man is in office that everything is all good. You cannot possibly believe in your mind that this is all that Sister Harriet Tubman and Toussaint Louverture and all of our great ones, you cannot believe in your mind for a second, a shadow of a doubt that this is what they was fighting for. You cannot believe that. You cannot believe that this is all that they wanted was to have a black face in the seat of the house of our oppressor. You cannot believe that. This man got family that's in Kenya, got family that's in South Africa and Africa, got family that's there. And this man has authorized, through the use of NATO and other avenues, he's authorized the bombing of your homeland, authorized an assassination attempt, and assassination attempts on Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. They organized the slander of freedom fighter like Robert Mugabe over there doing things to overthrow and disrupt the people that's there. And it's a black man in blackface, and you think it's all good? We sick as hell. We sick as hell. Let me go to the next caller, 480-232. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. We want you to talk about Pan-Africanism or perish, fight for Africa or perish. Black Power.
Black power, comrades. Malik El
Black
Ghani.
Power. Malik El Ghani, what's going on? Panther salute,
yeah,
sir.
Come,
how you doing?
Yeah, salute you, sir. Coming straight out of Los Angeles. Look here, I was just thinking of some of the things that's been said, and this is great. You know, August 13th, this is a great event, and I will be there. But, however, I was thinking of our community at hand right here. I heard you say that money got to at least circulate at least a few times in the community, but I like to say at least 8 to 12 times in the community. But you're right, it don't touch our hands but once, you know. And we got Arabs, we got the Koreans, we got the Asians, we got the undercover Jews right up in our community, you know, and they setting up smoke shops and selling the drug paraphernalia, and I got a couple of them under my radar right now, right across the street from elementary schools. You know, it's just a matter of time, and they will be shut down, and we will acquire the property. See, the thing is, we got to have some kind of responsibility in the community, some kind of financial responsibility, some kind of economic responsibility. Because once we build that economic front, you know, because we got a great spending power, you know. We're one of the top in the world, you know. But, and you know, but they seem to know this. They seem to know this. The Koreans just got here yesterday. But they seem to know that black folks spend money like they rich and like they don't lost their damn mind, you know. But they don't own nothing. I remember the last time me and the chairman rode through the community to watch, you know, and we saw what we saw there, you know, and it was very disgusting, you know. Our people, no vendors, no store owners, no mom and pop stores, no urban gardens, no nothing, you know. And this is, we got to address this issue right here. We spend money, you know. We spend money, but we don't do the right thing, you know. We don't do
exactly
the right thing. I'm talking about, brother, I'm talking about a renaissance. I'm talking about an L.A. Watts renaissance. And if we can be the catalyst, you know, for other cities and other communities to follow, let it be. We got problems there in our community, you know, gang violence and whatnot, you know. We got terrorism right there in our community. Am I declaring war on my people? No, I'm not. You know, but we got to settle the score right here in our community. You know, because for what, number one, you know, but we ain't gonna allow them to roll through our communities busting shops. You know, because in L.A. we will fight back. We just a little gang, you know, gang capital or whatever, you know what I'm saying? We got our little issues, but we will fight them pigs back, you know. And the same way we're talking about bringing L.A. New Black Panther Party, we're talking about bringing the economics back to the community. We're talking about bringing that great Watts Renaissance where black folks used to own businesses, where they owned stores, you know, when they owned this and that. You know, we got to get back to that, you know, and that's when we can build power in the community and bring and instill pride back into our people, you know, where our children can look up and be proud again. And we let the Arabs, yes, sir, we let the Arabs go and do these things, you know, and we let them post up their stores and whatnot and advertise their tobacco products, and we won't open our damn mouth.
Won't say nothing, but the thing is, Brother Malik, the thing is that we have to organize. The reason why you such a threat, and the comrades and those which you are such a threat, is because you're willing to organize. And if we would organize in a strong fashion, in a real manner, not no punk manner, in a way that where we can begin to drive people out. See, the Arabs and those that exploit our community, the so-called Jews and those that exploit our community, they exist because we've been too punctified to drive their behinds out. We ain't drove them out. They still exist. We have allowed them to continue to rape and to pillage and to harm our community. They rape, they pillage, and they harm our community. And we've allowed them to do that. And so that's why they're there. So we have to be willing to organize.
We allow them to do it and get it, and it gets away with this, you know. I mean, all from Jordan, from Iraq, and all from, you know, Saudi, really all in our communities. I mean, this community is so damn poor, you know what I'm saying? What the hell is they doing in the community? And how do they leave out of this community, you know, with truckloads of money on a monthly basis? I mean,
right.
You know, and they they got so much courage, man. When we ran them out of here in 1992, you know, don't you know that Korean was back the next day? Didn't give a damn about no niggas talking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But the deal is that they don't get to the point, black folks are tired, you know, and what we're trying to do in the community is bring about an economic system. We're trying to bring about economic justice in the community, you know. And I'm, you know, and what we're doing here is we're teaching the community and having economic seminar, teaching them how to start their own businesses, teaching them how to start their own corporations, the LLCs and the nonprofit organization. I heard my brother just a while ago talk about how they come to get on TV and talk about the AIDS for Africa. and whatnot, you know. And, you know, these people have the nonprofit organizations, and really it don't take that much money to do what they've been doing. And they've been doing that for the last 30 years. It's a multi-million dollar operation, and in the name of, and they're doing it in the name of what you call, they're doing it in the name of, you know, poor people. And doing it off the and feeding their families off the back of poor people in Africa, and half of that money don't even reach there. It's a big game. I know the corporation game. Oh, I know the business. This is what I do for a living. You know, I help people set up businesses and organizations and whatnot. I know the game, and I know what they are doing. You know, and they are not going to hoodwink us no more. You know, it's not going to happen. It's time to run these bastards out of the community. And I'm setting up an economic team of business executives that's willing, and investors that's willing to come in and buy these buildings. You know, buy these buildings. You know, get these buildings back. You know, I mean, we got to start. Even if we got to start on hot dog carts, man. Again, we got to start out and get this money circulating back in our community. And if it can circulate,
exactly,
8 times in our community, 8 to 12 times before it leaves out of our community, we gonna have a future. And this is just
exactly
simple, the black dollars on this. I was, it's funny that you said that because I had this in my mind. And a lot of us, and another thing, and I'm just going and let up off of this for a minute, but I'm thinking down there in New York going to be great. You know, it's going to show a sign of unity, a sign that, you know, and it don't matter what we do. It don't matter if we call ourselves Christians, Muslims, or atheists, or whatever, what have you, Hindus, or whatever we want to call ourselves. But the common denominator is unity. The common denominator is unity. And this, when we show that strength, that force of strength right there in Harlem, New York, that should be able to show the world, you know, that they would love to have us at odds with the Nation of Islam. They would love to have us at odds with the Nation of Gods and NAACP or whatever, however, you know. They would love to have us at odds with these people, you know. Well, then this is how they divide and conquer the whole situation.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
If we can show some kind of way, we can run these bastards out of our community. That give us a little sign and a little strength. You know, maybe we can run these bastards out of Africa.
And I'm just saying this, Brother Malik. I'm saying this, though. There's not no quick fix to it. You know what I'm saying? There's not no quick fix. We're not going to wave no magic wand, and then all of a sudden all the, you know, oppressive and you know, capitalistic institutions are going to be out of our community. But we got to start small. Just like what we're doing with the Day of Action movement. If we just start buying black, if we just start taking our days and buying black and targeting specific black businesses and supporting the black business and building up the black business, that's going to put a strain right there in the dollar in the pocket of your enemy.
Absolutely. Start on a small scale. You know, I was thinking about the Dead Action 3, and I'm right now I'm on
October 1st.
And I already started an organizing committee, and, you know, we talking about doing it at the Watch Towers, and we want to label this Black Power at the Towers. You know, what we want to do, we want to bring that renaissance back, you know, where the booths are set up, you know, where black people are trading with each other, with arts and crafts, man, where the drill teams going down, you know,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying, and concerts on the stage, jazz and African drums and, you know, and the blues and the hip-hop and whatnot. We're doing our thing and had those streets blocked out at the historic Watch Tower. I'm trying to secure that permit right now, brother, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to throw that thing out there, you know. But we got to understand, that I take this position here in L.A. very seriously. And the people that I'm reaching and coming to us right now, they're coming from across the country. I mean, you know, some folks even coming from the other states are talking about, I'm coming to L.A. to help you, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because L.A. is a very important city in the scheme of things. What we're trying to do, you know, at the New Black Panther Party, you know, and other organizations that we affiliated with, you know. So
exactly.
LA's very, 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 very important, you know. So I try to reach out to all the comrades across the country and comrades we even have in Africa or whatnot, you know. And people are calling me every day, and I appreciate what they're doing and the comments that they make. And I just want you guys to know that I'm standing the ground, you know. I'm holding the ground, and I won't back down. And the enemy know that, and they know that. I won't back down from the enemy. And I won't back down from my people. You know, I won't back down from no situation here, you know, because it's time to hold people responsible for their actions, you know, and I'm gonna deal with our people with love. I'm gonna deal with, it's gonna be tough love, but we're gonna deal with our youngsters and whatnot. And, you know, we got youngsters that's into the game activities and whatnot that's making their way towards the Black Panther movement. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it's gonna be a movement down here in Los Angeles, man. And I'm just glad to be involved this day, you know, with this conversation, talking about unity and Black power and Black nationalism and something. One more thing I want to say: a lot of people talk about our this nationalism. We are nationalists. Yeah, you're damn right we are. You know, certainly don't be a hypocrite about it. You know what I'm saying? Because you call yourself a Christian, and a lot of I'm gonna say this. You know, but the one that they serve and honor and respect, you know, was a nationalist himself. You know, Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye not in the way of the Gentiles, nor in the way of the Samaritans, but go ye in the way of the lost sheep." You know, but it was another time. And once he was able to get them to understand that you need to concentrate within this circle right here, within your people, you know. And another time he said, go into all the world and spread this knowledge, you know. So we all start, and it's the same narrow road. It's a narrow road, Black nationalism. And being a nationalist is a narrow road, you know what I'm saying. But this is the way we got to start off, you know. We got to love our people, you know. It's Black nationalism or nothing. You know, I just wanted to clear that thing up out there, you know.
Exactly. We got to rule. Period, point blank. Period. We say freedom or death. We got to rule. Ain't no, let me tell you, there's no such thing as white supremacy and black power existing at the same time. There's no such thing. One is going to dominate the other.
Either
you talking about black nationalism, black power, you talking about freedom of death, or you talking about upholding white supremacy.
That's right. Absolutely.
Brother Malik, we appreciate you calling, black man.
Yes, sir.
Sister Lady Fatima, she send you her greetings and a shout out from the chat room, man. Lady Fatima sends you the love. And the family sends you love too, brother.
Yes. That's right. All love. I appreciate that, too. I appreciate that, brother. But I'm gonna stay on and listen on to the rest of the show, though.
All right, black man. We appreciate you. One love. Black power to you, family.
Black power. Peace.
That's Brother Malik El Ghani. He's calling up out the West Coast. Head of that L.A. Watch chapter. We appreciate and love. Revolutionary salute to Brother Malik El Ghani. Let me take another caller. 347-287. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We're talking about fight for Africa or perish. Black power. 347-287. You live. Go ahead. They not ready. We'll come back to you. 757-405. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Let's talk straight. Black power.
Black power. You talking to Queen Sheba there. I mean, the power with the police is, one thing we got to do, we can't fight with what they fighting with. We got to fight with something more powerful than they are fighting with. If they fight with bullets, we got to fight with bombs so we can wipe them out in one strike.
You talking strong.
That's what we got to do, because we can't sit there and fight with bullets and we're going to lose, they're going to lose, but still we're going to lose. We got to fight with something going to wipe them out in one strike. And that's a bomb.
You talking strong. See, that's why. But see, that's why they giving so much havoc to our African leaders and our mother continent in Africa, because many of our African leaders they got them weapons, they got them bombs, you know, and they want to be the U.S. imperialists want to be the only ones with them kind of arms, them kind of maneuvers, them kind of destructive forces to be able to rule everybody else. And so they're trying to put their oppressive arms over our continent, over our people, and keep us armless and powerless and slaves here in the hells of North America and elsewhere. That's what's going on.
That's exactly. So we can't fight with bullets. Bullets is an out thing. We got to fight with something more powerful than they got. We got to be able to wipe them out with one strike.
Well, I would say that the number one thing we got, even before that, we got truth. That's number one. Your biggest weapon and your biggest missile in any propaganda warfare first is going to be truth, because that's what they hit us with first. Right now, Sister Queen Sheba, you got your own people. Some of our own people believe that our family in Africa is sitting there with flies flying around their heads and bones in their nose.
Bones
sticking out. You know what I mean? We fell victim to the propaganda, not knowing that there's industry in Africa, there's towns in Africa, there's commerce and trade in Africa, there's roads and all kinds of vehicles. I mean, it's real. I mean, it's a continent, but they'll show you some swamp land in some far place Africa and tell you that's all Africa. Our people believe that. So we have a big propaganda war, sis.
That's what the deal is. They don't believe in. I got two sons that I call my sons over in Africa. They call me nobody every other day. And that's not what's going on in Africa.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so,
go ahead.
We got to understand that they're trying their best. One thing that we got to do, we got to, if we're going to go with war with people, we got to go war with the times too, the ones that love them peckerwoods.
You going hard
you
now.
The ones that love the peckerwoods, I'm going to give them the name that our ancestors give them. I vibe with the ancestors very strong. And that's the name the ancestors give them, peckerwoods. That's their name.
Well, if that's what the name the ancestors gave them, it's good enough for me.
Well, we got to wipe them out, too, because you got to wipe them out and the other ones are standing away. Wipe them out, too.
The real truth is, Sister Queen, if their power is not broken, if the white power structure and white supremacy and the mindset of white people and the cracker in general, if that's not broken, then they will continue to dominate black people and dominate Africa. There's no two ways about it.
But do you know they got guns that's computerized that say shoot a nigga and the gun can shoot the person?
Obviously, their guns say shoot a nigga, because that's who the hell they shooting. They shooting us.
Yeah, they got
to
computerized shooters. That's exactly.
Hey, well, let me be the first to say.
You find all of that stuff going on, what they doing.
Let me be the first to say, in self-defense, to all my people, shoot back. Let me be the first to tell you, because best believe that If it comes to me to protect myself, my person, me, and my family, Sean Quali shooting back. Make no mistake about it. I'm telling my people do the same.
They talking about buying guns. I'm going to buy a bomb, because I'm going to figure out how you make your own, and I'm going to have mine, because I'm going to show them who can wipe out and who can't.
Well, Sister Queen, I'm going to tell you on this radio show to be wise and keep your plans in your head. But make
okay,
your moves. Make whatever righteous moves you got to make to defend you and your family. But keep your plans in your head, because
okay,
you know that just as your family and your friends is listening. You know your enemies is listening too, and you don't want to give nobody no leg up on you, sis. You gonna come to Harlem, New York?
Come to strong. Well, I mean, you got to be strong with what's going on.
You damn right. I'm not mad at you for being
strong. You be a person that's not strong. Look what's going on. They shooting 13-year-olds. They shooting anybody, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. They don't care.
Nope, they don't. They don't care. They don't care. And we honor you for your courage, sister. It's the black woman that has gotten us through, and so we challenging the black man to stand up and carry the load. Take some of this weight and burden up off of the black queens. Are you gonna be there August 13th, Sister Queen?
Yeah, I will indeed.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We look forward to seeing your beautiful black face August 13th at the Queen Sheba.
I'll be right there. And my brother, Khalid Muhammad, he's supposed to be coming with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know you're going to bring the Warriors with you now.
Yeah, I'm going to bring all I can bring with me. Some not coming, but I'm going to make sure he comes. I told him he don't worry about no money. Long as he got a sister, he don't have to worry about no nothing.
Well, you got the right spirit. Sister Queen Sheba, I gotta get to these next callers. We appreciate
all
you.
Right,
love you for your
power,
spirit.
Black power, black thoughts, and keep it rolling.
Black power, black power. Sister Queen Sheba making it plain. Sister made it plain for you. She's telling you straight up that hell, we're gonna have to come a little harder than what the enemy coming with. Whatever we coming with, Sister Queen saying it ain't hard enough. I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad at the Queen at all. Let me take this other call here. Let me see. 757-405. Your mic is open. We're talking about Pan Africanism of Paris, Black Power.
Somebody else, Black Power, my brother.
Oh, okay. All right, 904-705. We're talking about Pan-Africanism of Paris, Black Power. You going to fight for Africa?
Oh, brother Mikhail Muhammad, Jacksonville, Florida, chairman.
Black Power, brother Mikhail Muhammad. What's going on, Black?
Brother, we preparing to come to New York, bringing the chapter, and bringing Orlando and Tampa, brother.
Man, the whole of Florida coming to NY, huh?
Yes, sir. We bringing them, brother, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm rejuvenated, committed. We down here in Jacksonville. We getting ready to do a boycott of an Arab store, brother, and we uniting with different groups in the community. We're gonna start shutting these other folks down, brother. So it's no more time to blood suck, brother. The time now, stand up, defend, and protect our community. Develop black economics, brother.
Man, we got to see that. See, the thing is, I've been kind of on them A-Rabs tonight. I've been on some other ones, and I mean, you know, I know some of us is a little sensitive, but I have to be on them because they the ones that's dominating the community. I mean, period, point blank. I got to be on us because we haven't, as a people, organized to take ours back. But at the same time, these old Let me keep it G. These old A-Raps that are in our community have as much responsibility since they are pimping and robbing the community. Many of them are supposed to be Muslims. You talking about you Sunni, you Shiite, or you whatever, but you selling pork to my people, you selling alcohol to my people, you selling cigarettes to my people and black and miles to my people and all kind of other stuff to my people. But you supposed to be a Muslim. And Brother McHale, they know if they was in their homelands, they know that those that are upholding the law there would have had their damn heads. But you gonna come over here to America and sell my people that filth and that all that indecency? We can't have it.
No, we can't have it.
Period.
Brother,
I'm talking
Sean,
about every city in America though.
Every city here in Jacksonville, there's an Arab corner store right by my home. The other day I went into the store, he was asking me, was I practicing Ramadan? I told him, I say, brother, I am the original Muslim. I am the original Hebrew. I am the original Christian. Everything evolved from me and emanated from me. And so we get into a discussion about, do you follow Elijah Muhammad? You shouldn't follow Muhammad. I say, brother, you know, it'd be best for you to keep your mouth shut. I say, you guys have come here only to exploit and take advantage of the ignorance of our people. I say, brother, as we talk now, we're preparing to boycott and shut you down. I say, you're a Muslim, but you got crack pipes up under the counter. You're a Muslim, but you're selling X-rated movies up under the counter. I say, brother, from here on in, I think we don't need to go there with this religion, brother, because it's clear that you are the fake Muslim. You're not the true Muslim. So, brother, we're getting ready to organize and boycott and shut you down. So when I told him that, he said, brother, we need to talk. Maybe we can work something out. I said, brother, ain't nothing to work out. All bloodsuckers must go, whether they be Jew, Arab, Asian. They must go, brother. It's time for the black man to take back his post to defend and protect and provide for his people, brother. And so that's the path I'm on, brother Sean.
And our own people. And our own people that's pimping and oppressing our community. See, it's gonna come a time too, Brother McKenna, and I mean that time is now, but I'm saying we're gonna have to organize to a point to where anybody who's even selling poison in our community, that's a traitorous act. You got young men that's selling crack to babies in our communities.
You have to deal with the whole body that's suppressing us. We have to deal with them, Brother Sean. I'm well within line with you. We had an incident the other day where a brother chased a guy out of a store, a black-owned store. The brother stole a 50-cent Twinkie. He ran the brother down and shot the brother.
Damn.
A black man shot another man over a Twinkie because he stole the Twinkie, brother. So this is how sick we have become as a people. And so today I went to visit him, and we're going to talk. But it's people now that's upset with this black store owner, brother. So we definitely going to concentrate on our people. Anyone that's blood-sucking, oppressing our people, and victimizing our people, we have to deal with, Brother Sean. So let me make it clear. We will not ignore the black blood-suckers, the exploiters, and the corruptors, whether it be crack dealers, store owners, or anyone else, brother.
Exactly. I have to say that because sometimes, you know, as a black power group or black power organizations, we'll go so hard on everybody else, and then the main parasites, though, the main immediate parasites be right in our own community. So I'm saying that to send that out to the world that we not looking at our own community, at the parasitic individuals in our own community. We talking about moving on you too.
Yes, sir.
It ain't just about no black skin, Brother McHale.
No, sir, brother. No, sir. Whoever is victimizing our people, we have to deal with them, Brother Sean. So I'm well within line that we got to deal with all the forces, brother, all the negative forces that are sucking the blood of our people.
Exactly. And so you're going to make your way to Harlem, New York. What you expect to see? What you looking forward to?
Brother, I'm just there to feel the spirit, the network, build a historic day, a start of a movement, a start of a change, brother. And we got to keep the change going. We can't stop like we did after 1995, brother. We made some great accomplishments in 95, but the spirit died. But let us learn from 95 and keep the spirit moving, keep the energy going, keep our people moving in the right direction, brother. And I truly believe that this is a movement of the youth. We have to incorporate our young people. We have to connect both the elders and the youth, brother. And we do that, brother, we will be successful. And we will bring about a universal change starting in America, brother.
Exactly. So I think this is a good time, Brother McHale, to revolutionize all activities. And what I mean is I think that the time for outdated tactics has been over with. So we can't even go expecting for this to be this no regular march. Or no regular we shall overcome type situation. We're going to have to get in there and really make our presence known and really agitate and really be willing to organize the people to some after-hours change. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So what does revolution mean? A complete constructive change, brother, and that's what we got to have.
Exactly. I'm hoping y'all are feeling what I'm saying. We can't use the same tactics that was used,
not at all.
You know, because now our enemy is a thinking enemy. See, our enemy is a live enemy. In martial arts, they tell you that, you know, it's one thing to be practicing in your dojo, it's one thing to be practicing in your home and shadow boxing, but when you have a live opponent, you got to adjust to your live surroundings. You got to adjust to your live elements. And we're dealing with a live thinking enemy, a live conniving, deceitful, devilish enemy, and we have to be willing to adjust. And so I'm saying we in full support of the march that's in Harlem. We're in full support of all the activities. But we're not going with no outdated methods. We're coming to revolutionize.
No, sir, not at all, brother. It's a new day and new time, so we got to come up with a new strategy, Brother Sean. But I truly believe this is the time that we should unite, brother, and move forward, because there's no good white man, there's no good devil cracker. He's not letting up on our people, brother. So we got to stand up now. We can't duck and dodge and hide and pray to a mystery God to touch the heart of the white man, brother. We're going to have to come, and we're going to have to stand strong, brother, and we're going to have to change the way we think and how we function as a people, brother. So I'm willing to be that process and part of that change, and I'm elated right now. I'm overjoyed. I can't wait, and I ask that God bless us to make it safely to New York, because I want to be among that million, brother, that shows up.
Yes, sir, brother. I mean, you know, it's history. This is we write in history, and the thing is, history is going to keep repeating itself until we change the history. And so I don't care who it is, the white man has not changed in over 6,000 years. Any history that you can recall where it comes to black people or Africans, indigenous people on this planet, and the history of the white man, there has been conflict. There has been conflict. Now, I know some of us consider ourselves really good friends with the white man and white women. We consider ourselves really close and really cordial. You know how it is. Some of our people really consider ourselves to be really in the loop with these white folks, but they always have a way to show you that you still a slave, you still a nigger, you still in their control. I don't care if you at one of their parties or whatnot. They gonna always throw some sly, underhanded, racist joke at you. They gonna always tell you to go fix them a drink. They gonna do something to show you that they feel like you less than human. And it's in the nature of the white man and white woman. When I say the white man, I'm saying the white woman too. So
yes, sir.
All I'm saying, Black, is we have to take our righteous place back. This is a conflict that's been going on for generations, and if we don't take our righteous place back, then we don't deserve to be on this planet, period.
Well, I'll tell you this. We had our Black Panther meeting today. We had a new brother that joined the party, and the brother said he's sick and tired of being tired. He tired of being sick, and he ready to join on with his own kind. What do he have to do? And so now this is the spirit of our youth, brothers. They're ready, but the leadership have failed the youth, so we got to develop a new leadership, brother. And that's where we'll be successful, brother.
Well, the leadership is here. The leadership is amongst our people. I don't think, and our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, he always says this, it's not about one person. It's not about one leader. I don't think that we can look to just one man or one woman anymore to lead our entire movement or entire nation. I think we've had enough helpers, warners, and people that the Creator has sent us, male and female. So now we got to get up for ourselves, be our own leaders, take solid counsel and advice, however, but be our own leaders. And so we want to turn everybody loose to organize and build a nation of our own and get up off the plantation. And so,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Mikhail, I look forward to seeing you in New York, in Harlem, and holding it down and hitting this concrete. And we're gonna have to wrap and close and show up, Black man, but you know we're gonna build.
Yes, sir, brother. I'm looking forward to it, and Black Power, keep up the good work. And may the mighty Black Nation rise, never to fall back, brother. Onward
right
forever
on.
And backwards never, brother.
Right on, my brother. Black Power to you.
Black Power.
That's Brother Mikhail, Jacksonville, Florida. Brother's down in the deep pocket, in the corner pocket of Jacksonville, Florida, and he's kicking up dust, and he's giving our enemy hell. We give him a salute and a hand clap for that. We appreciate his efforts. Let me keep it moving. Let me get this call in here, 786-486. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. We're talking about fight for Africa or perish. You're live now, Black Power.
Yes, my name is Cheryl, and I'm from Miami. And I would just like to say, I don't know the names of the Arabs that was in the store down in Miami, but it was two Arabs that was running the store in a black neighborhood, And a brother came in, and I think it was over 5 cents or something, and it was an argument. He said, the brother said something back to the Arabs, and as he walked out the door, the two Arabs came out and beat him to death. Now, in the store was a crowd of black people. They seen this, and instead of helping the brother, they ran and trampled over his dead body. I mean, and to this day, the store is still there. Black people are still frequently going in there, patronizing the store, and nothing is done about it. I mean, two of the brothers, the Arab brothers were arrested. One flew back home to wherever he was from, Iraq or wherever he was from. But that's what I'm talking about. Our people are sick. How can our people be so complacent and not care and still go and patronize the store after these two Arabs kill their own people in their own community?
That's because we did. That's the result of being put to sleep and being murdered in our minds. Nobody else would do that. Nobody. Just today, there was uprisings in London. There was uprisings in London. They tore the streets up because a person got shot in the streets. They tore it up. But you're talking about a brother getting brutalized and beat down and people just walking over his body. That's because we dead, sis. We've been put to sleep.
And that's what I'm talking about. And see, in order for us to come together as unity, we got to get the complacency out of our people. I tried to talk to, after this incident, I went down there and was talking to a few people in the neighborhood. I said, why don't we boycott this store? Let's do this. I'm going to try to get this together. Are you with me? People were like walking away from me instead of walking with me. I'm thinking we as black people got to learn how to unify first. We got to first learn how to get unity. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're fighting against each other so bad and being division. This organization against that organization. This organization is that organization. We can't even come together in one organization to fight. I mean, I'm down with the Black Panthers. I'm proud to say that I'm now a member of one. Of the Black Panther Party. And that's the first thing I want to do. I want to go down to that store down in Miami. I'm in L.A. now, but I want to make a trip down there again with some comrades and try to shut this store down. Because how can you kill a black man in his own black neighborhood and you still making money in a black neighborhood? It angers me. I can't believe this is going on. But we as black people, we need to learn how to come together and unify.
That's what happens when
start any kind of business.
I'm sorry, Quinn. Go ahead.
No,
you're right. That's what happens when the army is disunited, or when fear has been put in us to the point to where we're scared to move. Like there's this new movement going on now, where when we call them pigs. Some people say police, but when a pig attacks a black man or attacks a black woman, that everybody begins to pull out their cell phones now, right? And on the outset, that appears to be great. You know, that's a Panther. That's a Panther staple. Observe the police. Observe the pig. But there's a flip side to that. There's a flip side, because the way that it's supposed to go is that you're supposed to have some brothers or some sisters that's there recording the incident, so that you don't have to deal with the police misconduct or them doctoring the tape or mishandling the tape, losing the tape or whatever that they have done and do, that you got your own accounts of the incident. But there's supposed to be another contingency of brothers or strong sisters that know how to handle themselves, that is willing to go to bat with these criminals and with these terrorists. And so there's a movement that's going on now where when something happens, everybody whips out their cell phone and everybody is recording the incident on their cell phone, but there is no physical response to the incident that's going on because we're afraid, we're scared, we're trying to fight within the parameters of the white man's system, and we're losing the battle, sis, and that's what's happening. We're trying to fight through the parameters of these white supremacists and this ideology, and we losing the battle. We are losing it. And so I'm sending it out there to say this, that for those of you that's recording the police in their misconduct, make sure, if you at all possible, can have a contingency of brothers and sisters that are willing to come about the bushes, come about the trees, come about from atop the roof or wherever you're going to come from, that are willing to defend the black community when these
pigs act up, and when they misuse and abuse our people. So since that's what's happening, when the army is divided, when the army has fear in it and they're scared to maneuver, and they don't want to go outside of the bounds of the white man's ink and his paperwork, that's what you get. You get people that are scared to make a move. They'll walk over dead bodies. They'll act like they didn't see nothing. They won't talk about it. They don't want it, and they'll still patronize them murderers. Do you remember the name of the store? What's the store's name?
I don't know the name of the store. It was on Channel 7, and they naturally, the news stations down there, they don't even show it as much. They showed it maybe once or twice. They aired that story once or twice, but they never talked about it again. They just said one was arrested and one went back to his country.
You said that's in Miami, right?
Right, in Miami. I'm going to Google it up and get more information, and I'll get back with you the next time you have the show, and I'll give you more information on it. But I'm not afraid of the pig. I will take my phone out at the drop of a dime because I have that right.
Send that to my email. If you find, I'm going to look for it too, but if you find that information, send it to my email, SeanQuali@yahoo.com. You can also catch me on Facebook. Sean Quali on Facebook. Just send it to me because I want to get these Arabs on Front Street. I want to get their store on blast. I want to make a statement and an example. In our motherland, when you do something like that, you got them strong revolutionaries that'll string your body up in the town square and make an example. We ain't quite that strong yet. Our men have been punked out and made slaves and mentally destroyed. We're not there yet. But I'm just saying that we can still set an example so that the next set of Arabs who feel like that they want to come in the community and brutalize our people, they won't do that again.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I'm really infuriated that they're actually still making money in that store. Had that happened in L.A. or any other, like Detroit, D.C., Atlanta, that store would have been burned down. But they got so many different racist Cubans. You got the racist Puerto Ricans, you got the racist the Haitians. I mean, it's so divided down in Miami. That's why I moved from there. And the people are just complacent. They don't care. The police, it was 7 dead brothers unjustly shot by the pigs down there. And no one's really doing anything about it. I mean, they say the Black Panthers are out there doing it, and that's true. But I'm talking about the community. The Panthers can't do it alone. They need the community to stand behind them. And the community is just divided. They don't care unless it happens to them. Travis McNeil, DeCarlos Moore, all these brothers who were shot by the pigs. And from when I went down to the Travis McNeil site at the where they were gunned down, there were witnesses that was walking out to me when I was putting my flowers down. And they said that when they was ordered to get out of the car, they told them both to lie down on the ground. And when they lie down on the ground, the police shot them both in the back twice. Kareem Williams lived and told a story, but Travis McNeil died. Why aren't we hearing about this? And then Chief Exposito has a secret meeting with the family, and nothing is never heard anything else about it. They don't say anything else. The family is quiet now. It's just it's mafia related down there. It's so mafia type related with the police down there and the community. The black people are so afraid of mafia, but I'm not, and I'll film them. I don't care. I have that right, and I'm going to give you more information on that store about those Arabs too.
Yeah, we gonna connect on that. We got comrades
right now. I'm ready.
We got comrades that's in Miami that can gather some intel. So we got people that's on the ground, and we can make some moves just with the community in general. But it takes sisters like yourself and brothers with that same kind of spirit that's not afraid, and it's just up to us to link together and make one solid wall of that same kind of spirit and that same kind of essence because all the punks, all the sissies, all those that's going to turn away and walk away and look the other way, they make a solid wall. They will outnumber the strong quick. But those of us that's strong, those of us that got heart, those of us that's awake in this hour, those of us that can see what's going on, we got to link up together from one end of this country to the other end of this country. And top to bottom, we got to link up all across this globe as one solid wall, and we build our own network. We can begin to control our own communities, control our own destinies, put forth our own ideas, our own agendas, and stop begging these oppressors and these white folks
with what they got and what they ain't going to never give us equally, and we can manufacture our own. That's what time it is, sister.
Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to say. When you were talking about the Arabs, that just brought it up to my mind about that story. I just had to call about it.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. You know about August 13th. If you in L.A., or if you're on the West Coast, get you a plane ticket and meet us August 13th in Harlem, New York. We're talking about stopping Bloomberg and what he's doing, stopping the bombing of Libya and Africa. We're talking about getting the imperialist hands up off of our motherland. We want to see you in Harlem, New York, sis.
Okay. I'll do my best to get there.
All right. Black power to you and freedom or death.
Black love.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the left coast. Our queens been standing up, though. The queen's been standing up. I mean, it's all the way from Yaa Santiwa, the queen in Zynga, the queen of Set Soot, and on and on and on. The queen's been standing up, been ruling, been the goddess. But the black man, we have been disappointing. We have been disappointing in the black nation. And so much of the dissatisfaction, it's in our court. It's on us. No disrespect to the queens. We love the queens for standing up. But damn, the black man, we're going to have to stand up and get some backbone in this hour for real. We're going to have to stand up and get some backbone in this hour for real. We can't betray our destiny. You destined to rule, black man, alongside with the black woman, if you got some sense. You destined to rule. You can't betray your destiny. We got to rule. We got to stand up. And so Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the new Black Panther Party, our activists, our organizers, those with the Dare Action Movement, the Black Power Movement, and whatever other movement we got going on, we are going to challenge everybody in the black nation to stand up, especially, but in particular, the black man. Going to challenge the black man to stand up or die. Stand up or walk your weak coward self up off his planet. Walk on up off of here. Because too many of us are getting slaughtered. The queen had already told you, people walking over the dead bodies. Y'all watching our women and our children get brutalized in the community. The Arabs and the Chinese and all of them taking up the land. The white man trying to get paid and pimp off for everybody. All this is happening under our watch. We got to take that example of Haiti. We got to take that example of Haiti and repel the beast. Let me take this call here. And let me before I do that, I'm gonna take this and I promise we're gonna wrap this up. But I just gotta drive this home to you all that what's happening August 13th is already written in our books. It's already written in our history. It's already written in our library. It's just up to you to play your own role. Let me take this call 347-737. We're talking about fighting for Africa or perish. It's Pan-Africanism or perish. Black Power, you on live.
Hey, Black Power.
Black Power. Chrissy Payne, what's happening? But you ain't Chrissy Payne. Tell him your real name.
Well, I'm still in the transition with that. So far, it's like the Naya Bingi Mahamusa segment. Naya Bingi, she was like a real powerful woman. She was an Amazon queen that, you know, she fought the Europeans. Like, they tried to come in and take over their country, but she fought real hard, you know, against them and everything. And she actually caused, like, a lot of other men to, like, get up, stand up, and start fighting. So, you know, I selected that name, but, you know, I'm still in the transition with the name. But, you
know. That's all good.
I basically called in, you know, because I'm from New York, and I'm happy about, you know, everyone that's, you know, coming to New York for this event, because I'm in Harlem, you know, the heart for black people in New York, and over Bed-Stuy. There's a lot of gentrification going on, you know. These crackers come in our communities and basically, like, take everything over, and that just, like, leave our people, like, to go where, you know, basically nowhere. Homeless, you know, and a lot of other things. So hopefully, like, they, you know, they'll see the black unity and strength, and hopefully that would drive them out, you know what I mean? And I know, like, a few months back, they were trying to get the African drummers out of Marcus Garvey Park. You know, so it's like they don't want, like, you know, no culture for us. They don't want anything like that. And so they come in here, the first thing that they do, they call the police officers to tell the African drummers that they have to leave the park. But, you know, the African drummers are still there. But just for them to have the audacity to do that, you know, we have to show our strength in numbers and in unity. And, you know, it's a lot going on in New York. I know, like, in Florida, like, I've seen the video clip on Facebook, and I see it's, like, real hot in Florida, you know. And it's the same shit going on here in New York City, too. You know, like, just last week, me and my brother comrade, on a Sunday night, we had to, like, stay there and watch these pigs, you know, try to pull a brother over. And what I noticed, too, is, like, what we've noticed is that they don't never pull over, like, a cracker boy. You know what I mean? They don't never pull them over. But our brothers, they steady pulling them over and harassing them. If you don't mind, Brother Sean Qualley, like, I have something here I want to read to my brothers and sisters that are on the line, if we got time.
All right, go ahead.
This is about our rights, you know, as far as targeting the beast. I'm sorry, hold on a second. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead and sit with you. All right. I said, stop the madness. Notice to all law enforcement agencies. We are not required to show ID to a police officer. The police officer swears by oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution as an officer of law. Supreme Court decisions are considered the law of the land and regardless to constitutionally protected rights, and they cannot be interpreted or reinterpreted. Colander versus Lawson, right, and it's a number there, in which the United States Supreme Court ruled that a police officer could not arrest a citizen for merely refusing to present identification. There is no such thing as failure to identify. You can sue the police for an illegal arrest and resist arrest with impunity. An illegal arrest is an assault and battery. The person so attempted to be restrained of his liberty has the same right to use force in defending himself as he would have repelled any other assault and battery. Each person has the right to resist an unlawful arrest. The person attempting the arrest stands in the position of a wrongdoer and may be resisted by the use of force as in self-defense. One may come to the aid of another being unlawfully arrested, just as he may where one is being assaulted, molested, raped, or kidnapped. Thus, it is not an offense to liberate one from unlawful custody of an officer, even though he might have submitted to such custody without resistance. COP, stands for Constantinople on Patrol, can only ask for ID when the investigation is underway and you are a part of it. If they ask to search you or your vehicle, say no, you cannot search without a search warrant. That's why they ask permission to do so. Officers of the court have no immunity from violating a constitutional right from liability, for they are deemed to know the law, Black Power. So basically what that's saying is, and I hope y'all, you know, heard that, and if, you know, if you can hit me up on Facebook, Chrissy Isis Payne, you know, and inbox me your email address, I'll send this over to you. One of my comrades, you know, gave it to me. But that, what that's basically saying is, like, you know, you don't have to show these pigs your ID. You know, you have, not only would we covered by the Miranda rights, but we also covered by this. You know, you don't have to say nothing to them, and if they keep harassing you, you have every right to go upside their damn head, you know, and don't be afraid to do that because you're covered under your constitutional rights. Constitution came from our brothers and sisters in, you know, the Moors, not this damn white man. So if they try to harass you, go upside their head. Like that Sunday night when me and my brothers, you know, we were standing there watching these pigs to see what the hell they was going to do. If they would have had attacked any bodily harm, we would have been prepared to go upside their damn head. Like, one of our brothers was video cameraing, and it was a few other of us just standing there watching to see if anything jumps off. You know, that was it. We was ready. And that's how we got to be, because constantly they're harassing our brothers, constantly, you know, pulling you over for no reason, asking for your ID, stopping you, you know, BMW, black man walking. It's, you know, it's not a sin or a curse to walk being black, you know what I mean? So we got to really stand up and fight back.
Exactly. And that's the thing. The thing is, that's why so many of the youth and so many of the youngsters that's in the streets, That's why they look at so many of us in the Black Power movement and in these conscious communities as punks and as sellouts, because we not bringing it to them real, and they know for a fact that we're targeted. They know that we trapped in the hells of North America. They know that we you know, our enemies assaulting us and attacking us at all fronts. And all that they normally hear out of most of these camps is rhetoric, you know, rhetoric and some cheap talk. And so that's why they look at us and they be like, y'all are not Black Power. And so I'm making it a point. I can't speak for everybody else. I can only speak for myself. I'm making it a point to organize concrete things, concrete solutions, concrete steps for our program, so that we don't have to just speak rhetoric or spew rhetoric. Our national chairman, organizing concrete steps. I know you, organizing concrete steps. Malik El Ghani, Reverend Brown, and all the organizers who call, I know what you all do all for the air. I know you organizing concrete steps. And so I'm just saying this, that in this hour, if you ain't organizing concretely in a way that where the people can see it, then they gonna feel like you a sellout. They gonna feel like you a punk. You don't get no respect, and they shouldn't respect you.
That's right, and you know, and we gotta stand up, you know, and take our own communities. You know, we got to take charge. We like the Jewish, the small hats, the so-called Jewish people. They do it. You know, they have their own ambulance. They have their own police force. And we can do it. Like, we built the pyramid, you know. We have so much power in us. We have Imhotep, you know, to ride his back off of. You know, like you was mentioning some queens earlier. We have all these people to ride off their backs. Marcus Garvey, you know. We've done a lot, and we continuously, even though it might not be as vocal now, we continuously do a lot. And, you know, and I just believe, like, in speaking life to ourselves, you know. I know, like, right now it looks like we're in a bad thing, we're in a bad condition, but we're the sleeping giant, you know what I mean? And it's like the Bible, like when God told Gideon, he said, you know, man, arise, man of war, you're strong, you're valiant. Like, he didn't know himself to be a soldier, to be a warrior. He was more like a coward at first. But God spoke to him and said, look, man, you strong, get up from there. And that's what we as African people here in the hells of this damn devilish second in society, gotta do. We gotta stand up. You know what I mean? We gotta fight, and we can't be afraid. You know, I know we've been conditioned like this, but the hell with that. You know what I mean? Because if it's blood or crip or whatever, you know, they let one of them shoot one of their brothers. They gonna ride at midnight. You know what I mean? And shoot their other brother. If you could do it to somebody that looked just like you, why not roll up on one of these damn precincts and blow the damn windows out?
In self-defense.
Not like, you know, we're going to pick on nobody. No, we're not. You know, that's the humble nature of an African person. We're humble people, so we don't go looking out for fights or nothing like that. But damn it, you know, if you want to shoot your brother's head up because he stepped on your toe, kill these damn beasts that have been hurting you for how long? And I mean, and there's a lot of ways, you know, to kill the beast. You know, we got to, like, even on Facebook, I mean, I'm guilty of it, too, because I'm on Facebook a lot. And most of the time when I do post things on Facebook, you know, it's more, like, educational things. Like, I'm really trying to, you know, be at war for the hearts and the minds of my people. You know what I mean? But at the same time, with all of that, besides just doing that, like you said, Brother Sean, you know, we got to have concrete programs here. We got to start to teach our babies. Like, that's number one, because that's what they're really trying to attack. Because, like, they have things called million-dollar plots where they take our baby's third-grade test score just to see if they're going to be in prison later and keep them at that state so they can guarantee to be at prison later. So we got to reach our babies. That's the first thing, you know. Besides reaching our babies, we got to find ways, you know, to fund money, like, into our babies' pockets. Like, now we don't even have the summer youth program no more. They do that by lottery. So that means a lot of, you know, babies is not going to have nothing to do. And here in New York, they closed down the movie theater in King's Plaza. They closed down the roller skating ring. I mean, there's hardly anything for our babies to do. So it's like they're looking and anxious for them to get into trouble. So that's what we got to do, like really target, you know, our youth. That's number one. Fund economic programs in our community that we can fund, you know, our own selves. If it's just selling water, if it's selling ice,
exactly,
cleaning cars, whatever it got to do, we got to find small, you know, start by small resources, but we know by starting small and God with us, it's going to grow into something big. We have to, because being at war, we at war. And I tell you this, you have never seen a Japanese person or no other person march as much as we as black people have marched. You know what I mean? But guess what? Now, although they bombed Hiroshima, look at Japan now. One of the leading forces that America got to go to now and ask for money. And we got to be that same way. But, you know, I mean, I don't have nothing against, however you want to fight, that's how you fight, you know. But more than marching and everything like that, let's take time and be still. Let's have a day just to be still and come up with a think tank and think, yo, what can I do to get the hell up out of this? Because I don't want to see this for my babies. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's all
exactly.
I got to say.
Exactly. We got like you said, we got to organize, and it's got to be concrete organization. But the thing about China and even the Japanese with their independence, the thing is this, and the documentary Hidden Colors. If you haven't seen Hidden Colors, it's a must see for every African on this soil. It's a must see. You got to see Hidden Colors. Hidden Colors made it plain that the African, the original Japanese was a black man, original African Japanese. They come from us. And the industry, the military structure and formation that's there in China and is there in Japan, that's from us. Everything that they got is from us. And so the way that they're rolling today, the reason why they're rolling the way that they're rolling is because they will not bow to this white man. They won't bow. They won't capitulate. They're willing to take this crack of the war at any time that they feel like there's something that violates their code of ethics, their code of honor, violates their sovereignty, their nationhood, anything that violates them as Chinamen and Japanese. They're willing to go to war. They're willing to go all the way out any way possible, whether it's economically, whether it's spiritually, whether it's physical. They're willing to do what they got to do for theirs. And so if you're saying that we got to, you know, be like them and take them kind of steps, then I'm going to say this, that we got to go above and beyond even the Japanese or the Chinese, because we in a worse condition. We're in the worst condition, so we gotta even go a few notches above and beyond what they would do. But you are absolutely right. We gotta be able to go all out for hours, all out.
No, and I'm gonna leave you with this, brother Sean, because you know me and my brother, we talked about this earlier. You know, and it's like us as African people, give this white man back his damn God. You know, I don't care if you're a Christian. You know, Jesus Christ is a black man. Revelation 1:14-15 talks about it. Also, the Book of Daniel. You know. To my Muslim people, I love y'all. Salam alaikum and happy Ramadan. You know, to the Moors, whoever it is, you know, I respect all our belief systems because it came from us. But let's give this cracker back his lifestyle. Our people don't have no right being homosexuals. Our people don't have no right walking around showing their ass. Our people don't have no right, you know, with all this other promiscuity and all these things that, you know, we fall victim to. We have no right. Give this white man back his shit. Because that's all it is. It's just shit. And when you do it, you're going to wind up living right here in hell, and you're going to wind up and go to hell. So it's like, that's what we got to do. We got to really just change our way, change our focus. You know, no, don't bend over a table for a damn record deal. Tell them, no, if you can't respect me for my talent, then I don't want it. We have to regain ourselves. Because back in the 60s, when you look at Angela Davis and all those black men and women that truly stood up, Fannie Lou Hamer, that really truly stood up, they don't look nothing like how people look today. You know, first thing we say when the cop comes and shoot one of our brothers, we say, oh, he deserved it. Because why? He was selling drugs in our community. You know, he was doing this and doing that. That's the first thing we say. But let give this white man back his stuff. Tell him, no, if it means I'm going to kill my brother by selling his drugs, then I'd rather be broke for a while and wait for, you know, and see what happens. But now we got to stand up together and regain our community love. Because we didn't have much back then either. But guess what? One thing we had was God, and we had each other. And that's what the same thing we need today. We need to give them back their hairstyles, their way of dressing. Ever give it back. Don't take none of it. And be proud of our African selves. You know, and
yeah,
that's
right.
It. That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's right. That worshiping, I mean, and you teaching hard. That whole believing in the crack of God, that's killing our people. It's killing our people. The white man has set up a beachhead in our minds, and he's in our spiritualities. And one scholar that all of us should be acquainted with and should listen to it to at all costs is our Baba Dr. Ashraf Kwesi. If you ain't seen Ashraf Kwesi and his explanations and his teaching on our original history, then you're missing a critical part of your own history and our information. Let that scholar teach you and talk to you and talk to us about how them white folks came in to our mother continent like they're trying to do today. And they stole our stories. Them stories that's in the Bible, them stories that's in the Quran, them are stories, and the stories that are in any spiritual writing, them stories are all predated by what was written down in the pyramids, on the pyramid walls, and in our original text. And what happened, them white folks came in, they raped, they robbed, and they pillaged, and they took our stories. And since they didn't know what the stories was talking about, they gave it their own interpretation. That's why that homosexual King James and his scholars, that's why they had to diligently compare and revise the stories. And so I'm telling all of us, whether you and me, whether we Christians, whether we Muslims, whether we Hebrews, whether we Buddhists, whatever we are, we got to go back to the root. We got to go back to the original story. We got to see what our people and our ancestors was talking about, how they was aligned with the universe. They was aligned with the cosmos. They was aligned
right.
with themselves. We got to understand what the real story is so we stop promoting white supremacy through religion. Africa was the first place, and Dr. Henry Clark, Ashraf Kwesi, and all of our scholars, they all talked about this. Africa was the first place where the black woman was seen as a goddess. Africa was the first place where the black woman was deified and talked about in her true position. Africa was the first place where the black woman was shown ruling. I'm not talking about from no servitude position. I'm talking about ruling out front. You know what I mean? Organizing governments and standing up for black men, even teaching the black man and giving, sharing wisdom with the black man on how to run government, how to rule. All that came from Africa. And the white man is hell-bent on eradicating all that history, all that knowledge, all that wisdom, eradicating the divinity of the black woman, eradicating the divinity of the black man, eradicating all of our original concepts, spiritualities, our original thought processes, everything that governed this world in peace, and they hell-bent on keeping tyranny, terrorism, brutality, murder, suffering, death, and shame on the world. That's what they hell-bent on. So this is why we got to be there August the 13th. If the black woman is serious about wanting to be a goddess, wanting to be herself, wanting to be strong, not wanting to be hoochie-fied, not wanting to be looked at like a whorish woman, not wanting to be talked bad about and disrespected, then she got to be there fighting against these white supremacist elements. The black man has to be at the forefront, there to protect the black woman and protect himself, fighting against these white supremacist elements. It's got to happen, sis. Otherwise, it's going to continue. This has been a battle for over 6,000 years. It's got to reach a climax. It's got to reach a point to where the teapot boils over, period. And so I'm just dropping that on you that you know, that for everybody who's searching, everybody who wants to know, go back to the root. And say this is whether you Muslim, you Christian, you Buddhist, whatever it is, go back to the root and understand about the black god and the black goddess, and then go to war with your enemy.
That's right, you know, and his time is up. 6,000 years is here, so goodbye, Cracker. You know, and Brother Sean, I love you. I appreciate you. You know, I cherish what you're doing, black man. You know, my African men and sisters, my women that are here on this line, you know, I love y'all, you know, with all due sincerity, I love y'all. I appreciate this. You know, we're God's remnant. You know, we're his chosen people to fight this battle. And let's just continue to, just continue to fight that good fight of faith. And I'll see y'all there, you know, August 13th. I'm pretty sure the Most High God and our ancestors are going to be looking down on us, smiling on us and thinking, you know, happy that we're uniting from all over. And
that's what I'm talking
up,
about. I'm a hold the line. That's what I was born into this world to do, just like you. So we're gonna hold the line. Look forward to rallying with you and organizing with you on August 13th. Let's give Harlem them Harlem bastards hell, Queen. Black power.
Black power.
That's Sister Chrissy Payne. That's Sister Segment. That's Sister Segment. Putting it down. She's right there in Harlem, letting y'all know that these devils is gentrifying the community. They taking up all the businesses. You got organizations like Disney coming in and buying up black property, buying up black blocks. They buying this stuff up. They buying it up. We already at an economic disadvantage. We already inherited the poverty of being slaves. And then they come in and they buy up the block. We got to organize. And we got to begin not only just organize in theory, but also begin to put fear in these bastards in a way that they think twice when they even want to move in the community, to where they don't even want to move in the community, to where we put so much fear in these devils and in these enemies of ours that they don't even think about doing the things that they're doing. But we got to grow to that level. And so in these last remaining minutes, family, remember everything that you heard tonight. Remember everything that you heard tonight. And know that we're not doing this to be in front of no cameras. Not doing this just to be heard on no radio show. I'm not doing this to get in no print newspaper. Nothing like that. All of this stuff comes from the heart. Comes from the spirit of my ancestors, my forefathers, and our ancestors and forefathers who come before us. And the almighty, wise, true, and living black supreme force and being that governs us all. That's where it comes from. That's why the new Black Panther Party has been able to withstand some of the most vicious attacks from some of the most vicious hypocrites, disbelievers, devils, and disenchanted people anywhere in the world, and we still going to continue to crush you bastards. Still going to continue to crush you bastards. And so, in closing, I want to let everybody know that there is no statute of limitations in the claims of murder and genocide, such as in the case of what happened to us during slavery. There's no statute of limitations for the claims of murder and genocide, such as what happened to us in slavery. And whether you believe that slavery was abolished in 1830 or what have you, if you believe that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves or what have you, just understand that the slavery was preceded and followed by colonialism. Just understand it as you leave from this broadcast that our physical enslavement, our chattel enslavement with chains, us being chained by the neck and by the hands like they put us in handcuffs, it was preceded by colonialism. And so since they set up a beachhead and set up white supremacist institutions in our community, in our neighborhoods, and in our minds, we're powerless as a people. And since they're now setting up, and they have been setting up military bases in Africa and vacationing in Africa and raping and robbing our institutions in Africa and desecrating our ancestors and terrorizing our people, dropping bombs and killing innocent men, women and children, the civilians, since they're lying and doing all kind of sneak attacks, just understand that cuts you off from your original power source. If you let your enemy take control of your home, take control of our homeland, they're going to rob and rape all of the resource. They're going to take the minerals. They're going to take your history. They're going to not only begin to put you in situations, me in situations that dehumanize us, they plan to annihilate us. They plan to annihilate us. So there's no statute of limitation. If we got to fight to the last black baby standing, that's what we got to do to get this peck of wood up off of our backs. You can email us to join the new Black Panther Party movement and get down with us where you are to fight against these bastards at mbpphq@yahoo.com. You can reach me directly, Sean Kwali, @yahoo.com, on Facebook. You can catch me also at ruthlessmilitants@yahoo.com. Hook up with your brother. But also, hit us at dayofactionmovement.org. Day of Action Movement, the next Day of Action is October the 1st. That's the day where we organize collectively as a nation of people, independently of this cracker and this devil, to do good for our community and overthrow the mud and the filth and the savagery that these enemies have put on us and put in our minds to do to ourselves. October the 1st is the next national and international Day of Action Movement that's coming up. So nbpphq@yahoo.com. You can get me at RufusMilitants@yahoo.com or SeanKwali@yahoo or Facebook. And until the next show, we ask that you keep tuning in with us and keep rolling with us and riding with us. And our next show is going to feature our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's coming on this Monday. He'll be here Monday at 8 o'clock, and he's going to be talking about a revolution in Harlem. He's talking about a revolution in Harlem, August the 13th. What's it all about? That's Monday at 8 o'clock. Stay locked in to Black Power Radio as we're going to continue to bring it to you harder and harder each show, more revolutionary each show. And if this show can't produce something on the ground or something in the streets or something in your neighborhood, then it's not doing its job. The call is freedom or death. It's Black Power for Black people. Stay militant. Stay hard on this beast. Stay hard on this enemy. And keep your head up, my people. Black Power.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, it's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, it is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be